on the southwest side of the city that some workers were doing some excavation in order to widen a road. In doing so, they unearthed a stone box, and it had on it some ornately decorations and motifs with flowers upon it. Upon further research, they determined that this to be an ossuary. Now, an ossuary is a chest used to store bones of a decomposed body in a tomb. And inside the chest, they found a corroded nail. And very near it, they found another one. By the way, the city was Jerusalem. And on the ossuary was the inscription in Aramaic with the name Caiapha, which we translate Caiaphas. You might remember him, the high priest, during the trials of Jesus. These nails were then mysteriously lost. But they've recently shown up. A renowned anthropologist at the Tel Aviv University received two nails in an unmarked box from a collector who had died. Further analysis proves that these nails were the same nails from that Caiaphas ossuary. It found that not only did it have the physical and chemical signatures of the nails, but the items in that ossuary matched to have that same chemical signature, and that signature was quite unique. So it was determined that they were from the same location. The analysis also discovered that these nails contained slivers of wood and bone fragments, and suggested that they might have been used in a crucifixion. This research has ignited debate over the origin of the nails, and it's led many to speculate that these could have been the nails used to crucify Jesus. One documentary even suggested that the high priest may have been so overcome with guilt about the crucifixion of Jesus that he kept the nails as mementos. All this has led many scientists and archaeologists and anthropologists to conclude that while it's a plausible theory, there's still not enough evidence to completely prove the hypothesis that these were the nails used in Jesus' crucifixion. Now, if you wish, you can look into the subject further. You can draw your own conclusions. But before you do that, allow me to interject a little more evidence to you as to the location of the nails that were used to pierce Jesus on the cross. Just a little history. When Romans sentenced a criminal to be executed by crucifixion, it was common for them to write down the crimes on a sign and then hang it upon the criminal's neck as he was led to the place of execution. Then as that prisoner was being crucified, they would hang that sign upon his cross. Might sound vaguely familiar to you, because there was a sign that said, Jesus, King of the Jews, right? On the cross. I say all that simply not to give you any more evidence as to where the nails are, but to lead us to this point, because I think Colossians tells us exactly where those nails are. Colossians says this in chapter 2, starting with verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. Sound familiar? That sign with our sins written upon it and hung around our neck. And then the verse ends this way. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. You see, I can tell you where the nails of Jesus are. They're holding up the certificate of debt of my sins and those hostile decrees that are against me. They're no longer around our necks. They've been nailed to the cross. Father, we come before you. As we sang, Jesus is the only Lamb that is worthy. And Father, as we think of the price that he paid in his sacrifice, and how many want to speculate different things about that, we know for certain that, Father, that he died for our benefit. He gave his life, not just in place of ours, but in payment for ours. And Father, he's taken our sins and nailed them to his cross. They're no longer ours. And Father, Satan still tries to beat upon us and to pound upon us. But we know that he has no nails to make his accusation stick upon us if we have been obedient to you. And so, Father, help us to remember this price, to remember this sacrifice, and to remember our need of being obedient to him and to live lives that are pleasing to you. We ask, Father, that you'll bless the bread and the cup today as we partake, that, Father, we might again be reminded of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, which takes away our sin. For it's in his holy name that we pray. Amen.